My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
All right. 13 episodes in, Brad, and now we're moving into what we call the freeform version of this, where we're going to be bouncing around a little bit.
Are we now going to do 13th Crusades for the next 25 years?
Please, no. Oh, God, no. No.
What? It worked for Abaddon.
It did work for Abaddon. Actually, no, it didn't. It hasn't succeeded at one of them. He's just...
He did. Now he has. Kind of. He blew up Cadia.
Again.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's Cadia getting blown up. That's definitely one of the crutches of GW. But on today's episode, we're going to kind of start setting up some future stuff. We just don't want to have to do a bunch of spoiler episodes. So today is going to be post-Horus Heresy, The Scouring, is what it's known as. I like to call it Revenge.
I mean, a bunch of stuff that we're not allowed to say on this because it's hate-effing.
Yeah. Oh, this got ugly. So for those of you who don't understand what we're talking about, Horus, after he dies, the forces of chaos, the traitor legions, basically break up immediately.
Well, let's set back, go back. Yeah. Let's rewind this because what happened is Horus was already having trouble keeping chaos together. Weirdly enough, keeping chaos together, it was hard. So wrangling cats didn't seem to be the best thing. But he was doing it by the power of personality. He was the most powerful besides the Emperor personality, maybe besides the Emperor, to be honest with you, because that was his jam, is just Horus was a good talker.
Yeah, to be honest, I think people liked Horus more than they liked the Emperor. Yeah. It's just the Emperor.
He was just more powerful.
Well, when you were in the Emperor's presence, you felt fealty to him, whereas Horus kind of...
He tricked you into that because the Emperor is a cheater. So, but the thing is that Horus was already having issues because the more that they fell into chaos and were powered by chaos, obviously the more influence chaos has. And if you're looking to get a nice regimented, structured thing going on, powering it through chaos is not the best way. So it was already fracturing. And so when you take away the figurehead, which is literally how all chaos since then and forever is led by powerful personalities, when you took away that power of personality, something that was already hanging by strings, it didn't just fracture, it exploded.
Yeah. I mean, we already covered it during the Horus Heresy that the Emperor's children had already run off to just go do Emperor's children stuff. Iron Warriors bailed. Angron, yeah. I mean, all these guys, even the Death Guard, they were all already falling apart. Horus goes and they all fall apart. The problem for Chaos, this one, is the other side was very singular in purpose.
They were not. They were also not done.
Yeah.
Chaos said, "Hey, guys, I'm pretty tired now. I'm about to go home." And they were like, "We're not done at all.
We're not done
at all." I didn't hear no bell.
Yeah. Well, and more importantly, Ultramarines just showed up at the end of the party and went, well.
And did you also have, which we will get into our next episode, you have an angry lion with dudes that are already mad, and he's been setting shit on fire. If you met Chaos in passing on the expressway, the lion's like, "We should probably burn that down."
We've got the situation of, you're right, the White Scars, the Raven Girls haven't recovered. Blay Angels have lost their Primarch. They're all struggling, but you just got full force Ultramarines, full force Dark Angels,
full force,
quote-unquote, and a good chunk of what's left of the Space Wolves all just showed up, and they missed the party and decided to make their own.
And to be honest, I don't know who's more angry about it, Leman Russ or the Lion.
Yeah.
Like, both of those guys are bent, and they also kind of got tricked by Horus, which is making them
even more
bent that, oh, we got duped and I'm on the other side of the galaxy. I'm going to ruin this guy. Also, he's dead. Can we revive him so I can kill him again? Okay, I'll just murder everyone he knows.
Yeah, and an important piece here is that the last thing the Emperor said before being entombed was, you have to destroy chaos.
Well, let's talk about that.
Sort of.
What I'm saying, what he wanted is a free empire. Again, the Emperor, while being a terrible English dad, has a vision of no chaos taint, a free world that is not infringed by chaos. And that's what he's going to. And his sons went, oh, so we should go on a genocidal lunatic rampage?
To be perfectly fair here, his words were exactly what you said. Hey, we should remove the taint of chaos. I don't want chaos around. Let's get rid of them. But he said it to warriors who were going to take that one way and one way only of, oh, go kill all the guys who were on chaos. On my way, Dad.
And they took that literally and just went, oh, so we should kill
who? All of the chaos.
Yes. Like, and what is chaos? What is chaos? This is also the beginning of the Imperium turning to shit, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, we're going to do an entire episode in the not too distant future on the Inquisition and its origins.
So, but like, they had a very broad definition of who is chaos.
I would even say they didn't know who was chaos. I would say it wasn't even broad definition. I would argue they didn't know who was
they
chaos.
They were kind of like thinking witch trials. Hey, if you sink, you're innocent. If you float, you're...
We're going for... Anyone who doesn't make eye contact, we're shooting. And if I don't like their eye contact, I'm also shooting them.
We're like, I don't really like... I'm not cool with those color of eyes either. So it was a big deal. And they effectively all meet. They meet at Terra. Mm-hmm. They, you know, do the Thundercats go, put the hands in. And they go buck wild, and they have new Great Crusade energy.
Yeah. So I think what we should discuss is the situation that they've come in. So again, the Emperor's talking about, and this is important foreshadowing for what ends up happening to the Imperium. Terra just got bombed to oblivion.
It wasn't just Terra, though. You got to figure that the Imperium is shredded. You don't really know who's chaos and who's not. And also, it's a galaxy literally at war. That's not even talking about outside.
At war, and not like at war, like we've declared war on you, I'm going to come get you. It's on fire and burning. The numbers that I was able to find were over 3 trillion are dead, at least, probably more than that. And I think they listed at 3 trillion because I don't think GW knew the number above that.
There's also 3 trillion, but they're talking about the fighting forces.
Yeah, and then civilians are off. There's no number. They're gone. The issue that the survivors have is, well, what is chaos? I mean, obviously, we know the traitor legions. What do we do about Mars?
Which is effectively 50-50 right now.
Yeah. We've got an Imperial Navy that every single element that exists within the Imperium is X percent is chaos, and we don't know which ones. You have a world that went dark. Did that world go dark because it turned to chaos? Did that world go dark because chaos attacked it? Did that world go dark because all their astropaths got shot? We don't know.
Well, one of the biggest things on that is you do have to ask yourself, I think that they almost gave Mars a half pass because of the fact that they went, well, we think that some of you guys might be chaos and a lot of you guys did some sketchy things, but also kind of, hey, we're at the end of World War II. You guys are bad guys, but also I'd like you to run half of our stuff.
Let's just be honest. How do you tell the difference between Mechanicum and Dark Mechanicum? If you look at...
Because the guy just tells you he's not.
Well, that's the thing. By actions, it's like, hey, this guy just cut a guy's arms off and put robotic arms on him. Oh, he's totally Dark Mechanicum. No, he's actually regular Ad Mech.
That's Ted.
Ted loves him. He's got an Emperor tattoo.
Like. Yeah. And the biggest thing is, like I said, that they literally treated it like World War II scientists. You're like, well, you were on the wrong side, but now you're on the good side. And also, we really need you guys to make stuff so that we can go get the bad guys, quotation marks.
Kelbor Hall is dead. That guy's gone.
Somebody has to be made an example of.
Someone's getting
involved. I'm sure there's some other bad guys, and I know that you guys are all good guys now. And they're like, oh, yeah, please just leave us alone. We're definitely good guys.
Another problem you have is chaos is now everywhere. We went from, in seven years, we went from there was no chaos, or there was chaos, but no one really knew about chaos. It's popping all over
the place. Well, it's also, there's cults. And the thing is that there is just, remember, the Horace did a great job of propaganda misinformation. This is all the Imperium's fault. So you have these cults that took place because, guys, your terrible suffering is for sure the Imperium's fault.
Yep.
And your life sucks, and we'll get into this because it got suckier.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all you know. So, like, well, now you didn't mean to, but you just joined a cultist squad, you know?
And now they're we covered this on the Eldar episode about, you know, the birth of Slaanesh. Once Chaos Gods are getting a taste of the depravity that the Eldar put forth, they got empowered. Well, as we just said here, at least 3 trillion, no, way more than that, are dead. And they didn't die of old age. You know, they died in ways that feed Nurgle, feed Tzeentch, feed Slaanesh, and feed Khorne.
Yep.
So all those gods are more powerful. They've now also been breaching the Materium from the Immaterium in taking over the Traitor Legions. So chaos is also just popping up everywhere. So it's not the Imperium doesn't know this. The problem is, as they're going to go out and wage their crusade back, they have no idea that a world they'll pass over that's totally cool in 2 years might be pure chaos.
Well, they also kind of, and it depends on the Legion, and it also depends on what lore you look into. Some of the Legions still kind of thought the chaos was just something that their fallen brothers found and utilized.
Yeah.
And that was it. They didn't realize that this thing is insidious tendrils everywhere now. You open the Pandora's box and you're not getting it back in. It's just everywhere.
Well, and that's why I like this idea of a world that you look at today, it's like, oh, they're good. They're totally fine. And so you move on. Because remember, we still have to move linear. These guys have to come out of the galaxy and start moving in a straight-ish path away. As you go, you're going to check on a world. And the world's totally cool. And you're going to move forward. And it's going to fall to chaos. And you don't realize it's falling to chaos. And I have to double back and do all this stuff. So this, what they're about to step into, really does set the stage for the Inquisition, sisters, all this stuff that are coming
down the pipe. Because you kept getting bit. You literally bit in the ass because of a world would fall to chaos when you're 10 systems away, and that was the logistics.
Yeah, system. It was shipping you all your food. Actually, it was the hub for all your food. Now is Nurgle, which
means then you have to go back, and that's happened multiple times now. And now you don't even have that. Not only did you not, were you not even able to recapture it, now you eliminated that, and now you don't. You need another one. So now it kept going, well, if we would have done this right the first time, and you would have just accepted acceptable losses of everyone.
I want to cover this way because one thing I didn't like when I kind of do some research into the scouring, as we call this, is we refer to scouring as a period of time. The scouring has never ended. As far as I'm concerned, the scouring began when Horus died, and we are in the 41st millennia now, and it's still going on. This is the scouring to
me. They made it more of a secret, though, because they still pretend that chaos, people don't know about chaos. The average Imperium citizen still does not know chaos exists.
But what I'm talking about is that when you look at it from an Imperial history standpoint, they refer to it this period of the scouring. And my
This is forever. You're 100%
correct. This is just what we do now. We just renamed it a few different times. So the reason I bring that up is that what we're going to cover today is kind of the earlier part of the scouring. We're going to say this doesn't end. There was the plan was to wipe out chaos. If you played the game, you're aware that they didn't.
One of my favorite parts of this is Bobby G comes up with amazing plans, and nobody pays attention to them.
No,
they all agree. Everybody high-fives Bobby G and says, "You're right. This is a great plan." And then they go YOLO swag.
Yeah, I'm not
whatever. Going. They go, hey, I'm going to make a bunch of 12-inch charges. Let's do this.
Well, and so let's go into kind of that exact piece. They all get to Terra. As you said, they have their discussion, and everyone agrees, well, the Emperor said wipe out chaos. Let's go wipe out chaos. Bobby G offers up a plan.
No, it's not like he gives a plan. It's not like he has a manifesto PowerPoint.
He was writing the whole, this is good job.
He's got everything. This is how it's going to go. This is the perfect way. This is how we stamp out chaos. And everyone goes, we 100% agree. And then they leave and he goes, but that wasn't part of the plan. He goes, no one's following this plan.
Yeah, because they all were, especially the Lion and Lehman.
Yeah. Had
very strong opinions of what they were going to do next. Oh, and yeah. Bobby G's presentation, 5 stars. Good job, man.
100%.
Totally agree.
It also would have made a wildly better Imperium.
Yeah.
Because his was a conquer, rebuild, refocus, basically re-educate the populace and move on. And
Lehman and the Lion
basically went, I'm down for vengeance.
Yeah, I need to go hit somebody now. Well, what happens if you're done hitting them? I'm going to find someone else to hit. Well, what happens then? See part one.
You're like, what about that rebuilding effort? I forgot about that.
Yeah, someone will do that.
Yeah. You're like, I'm pretty sure it's just going to make more chaos happen. You're like, nah, it'll probably work itself out.
I'll punch that chaos.
But by the way, foreshadowing, did not. Weirdly enough, if you beat the crap out of somebody and you leave, they're not super cool with that.
The other problem, though, with this is chaos, and we're going to get to how fast they did this, did have a place to flee that made this whole process effectively impossible, which was the Eye of Terror exists.
Yeah, but
you could just go into the Eye of Terror.
They took the most odd routes, though.
Oh, no, they did, but what I'm getting at is that this whole plan of, like, I'm going to go hunt them down and kill them all, it's like, well, then you're going to have to go into the place there's an infinite number of them. It's not really going to work.
And also, the laws of physics don't actually.
Yeah, exactly. Lie. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not orcs. You can't make this happen.
And some of them,
orcs could have wiped out chaos. I will say that. And I'm saying that as an orc player, and that I know I'm right. The orcs could have, through power of belief,
just made it happen.
They could have just said, I'm going to kill Khorne. And then Khorne would appear in front of a war boss. The war boss would kill Khorne, and Khorne would stop to exist because that's just how the orcs function.
They have no idea why.
No one knows how it happened. But if you have Grot stats.
Let's talk about some of the things that happened. Because a couple of the legions, one, Emperor's Children have been retconned about 22 times by what they did. After they went to Gap and rounded up the employees and took them to the Eye of Terror. But they kind of just went to different places and did raids, Dark Elder style almost.
Yeah.
And just kind of made their way and didn't get into a ton of skirmishes. Their legion's fairly intact comparatively.
What I think that's also because of their Slaanesh. Slaanesh is not, and I'm going to get shit from demon players here, but Slaanesh is not a combat god. Slaanesh really seems to only love overwhelming odds in her favor.
It's success.
It's all success. So it's not this, you know, it's the opposite of a Khorne or an orc, you know, where they actually are trying to really
take on the biggest, best
battle. Yeah, I'm going to show you.
Biggest and the baddest.
Yeah, they're more than happy to raid the planet of all farmers and just take the farmers back to Tortureville and have fun in Tortureville.
And so they get back to the Eye of Terror semi-quickly. I mean, when we say semi-quickly, the Eye of Terror is, again, far away. Yeah. Again, it's a galaxy.
It was in the dead center of the Eldar galaxy.
Right. The Eldar Empire was so far away from humanity that they didn't think that humanity, even though they were taking literally millions of planets, was worth bothering with because it was far away.
Exactly.
That's how far they were away. So they go away. The Iron Warriors make a bunch of weird stands for kind of no reason.
Yeah, it seemed like they just wanted to build forts, which we've already established they're not as good at as other
Yeah, but none of their stands make any sense. I'm sorry, but like, most of the reason they made a stand is because someone wanted to write a story about another chapter. I'm sorry, but guys, sorry, Iron Warriors, but they literally just use them as the foil to tell a story about how cool X chapter was in winning a story, a battle against Iron Warriors, who were just stopping at random places. They're like, hey, we got to stop here. Why? Because we got to lose later to so-and-so chapter. Why? It says here in the script
I'm just following the script. Yeah. What's the script? It's not important.
Yeah. You're like, we're basically WWE wrestlers, but
I don't know this. Which chaos god are Iron Warriors attached to?
They're not.
They're
undivided.
They are kind of undivided. Okay. That's what I thought.
Because he wasn't even a demon prince for like a forever.
Yeah.
Okay. He just was full of furious anger to go screw your Robo Dorn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've got that. You've got the Night Lords. who were pointless in this entire thing in the first place, by the way. Sorry, Conrad Cruz, by the way, read his...
Conrad Cruz is incredibly important in the whole Horus Heresy and even in the Scouring.
Yeah, well, he literally breaks the triumvirate of the Sanguinis, Bobby G, and the Lion.
He's fantastic. His legion is useless.
Yeah, he's...
do nothing.
He's a genius slash idiot. Yeah. I mean, he just comes up with... because he's crazy. He sees the future, but he's also insane. So he does all this crazy shit, but his legion just... while they also led several people on a wild goose chase for a while, including the Dark Angels, but like, he literally just ran around and harassed people and then went, you know, we were doing this before. Let's just do it again. So they take the most leisurely way back to the Eye of Terra and just make life miserable for billions, maybe trillions
random
of
people where they just decide... It's actually funny because they turn into the Drukhari just like the Emperor's children turned. I mean, a lot of them just become the Drukhari.
Well, they become the Fallen. They become not Fallen of Darkness, but the Fallen as in the Fallen Elder. Yeah. They went in falling to chaos. They followed the same script that the Eldar did. They just did it way faster because humans don't live as long. We need to speed this shit up.
Let's juice this.
Skip to the back, you know, like skip. Let's just turn to the back of the book and just see what the last couple pages are. That's pretty much what humanity did with the fall of chaos. Like, let's just move, speed this up. Let's just go to the last chapter. We got this.
Alpha Legion 2. We don't really discuss too much of it because they're so.
Well, oh my God, you can't.
And that's a lot. That's actually probably more retconned even than Night Lords.
You mean the first Primarch found, but actually the last Primarch acknowledged.
And the heresy, it's like
which brother is actually the one that died, which is the one, and people are going to yell at me because this has been kind of already put out now as fully canon, but whatever.
Yeah, but for people who are newer to the game, there are some of these stories they held. Alpha Legion has been all over the map.
It's been retconned like a million times.
Yeah.
It's, you don't know. And one of the biggest things is, did they fall to chaos? Did they not fall to chaos? Or at least the brothers.
Yeah.
Because Alpha Legion, Alpha Legion is a dual Primarch. Mm-hmm. It is a identical twin brother.
That no one knows. That's correct. The whole thing. The Emperor, I think, is aware that there are two of them. Even the other Primarchs.
They would keep literally taking each other's place.
Even the other Primarchs didn't realize there were two.
Well, they would take turns.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, just sort of taking turns. Like, and if Brad and I have discussed it in the back, in the past, it is humorous. These are 7 foot tall, 450 pound monstrosities who I guess are hiding behind a curtain.
Who was also, Alpharius was apparently on Terra for a long time,
just
like pretending that he was one of the other guys. And you're like, hey man, one of these dudes is like 2 feet taller than everybody else.
For the record, if you've watched The Princess Bride and seen Andre the Giant, he's bigger than regular people than Andre the Giant was to everyone in that movie.
Nothing to see here, guys. Just in line with everybody else. Just
what?
Like no one noticed that guy?
No one knows
that. He's blending in perfectly.
Remarkably handsome, too.
Yeah. Like, those guys are all otherworldly handsome. Yeah. Like it's when you look at a primate, you're like, whoa, what's going on?
Because I made the comment to Andre the Giant when I put up, he doesn't look like Andre the Giant. This is 7 foot tall Chris Hemsworth.
And they're actually slightly taller.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, maybe 7.5 foot tall Chris Hemsworth just kind of wandering. I'm thinking of the what's the meme? Hello, other kids with the skateboard.
Yeah,
whatever.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. Like, hey, other Earthlings.
Yeah,
like,
which is pretty much what they're doing.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Alpha Legion does also run back through the Eye of Terra. Mortarion gets there fairly quickly, it looks like.
Well, Mortarion, remember, he got trashed at Terra. So he got reborn into the Terra. And this has been retconned multiple times, too. They used to have it D&D style, where if you got killed, you had to spend X amount of years before you could come back. Yeah. But then that got retconned. And then now in current lore, Angron can insta come back if you have enough fighting going on, which I actually like, because it's if the power of Khorne is, you know, if you have enough,
he'll just keep bringing back.
Yeah, he'll just keep coming back. But otherwise, you know, if the fighting's less, he can't come back.
Yeah.
So, but like, we went back and forth about this at the time. Mortarion couldn't come back into the real world for X amount of time.
Yeah, he was in timeout. That's fine.
Yeah.
He was in timeout.
So that's why they went back.
Same with Angron.
And the loyalists just go buck wild.
Yeah. Now, that being said, we actually should caveat that. Mortarion has died. Mortarion has been sent back into the Eye of Terra. He's been reborn there. There still were a bunch of Death Guard, though, spread both on the planet and throughout the systems, who did not teleport with him back.
Well, to be fair, let's talk about the fact that he kind of just had the Death Guard that came with him over there, because the Death Guard that tried to flee Terra didn't do great.
They didn't get very far.
No, they're in a lot of stories of. And you know what the stories are? They're not Death Guard stories.
Yeah.
They are Space Wolf, Dark Angels, Ultra Breed stories.
About the Traitor Legions during this kind of early part of the Scouring.
And all the stories are, and this is the cool story about character A obliterating Death Guard or somebody else.
One guy, though, who did flee pretty quickly back to the Eye of Terror is Abaddon.
Oh, he took his ball and went home. But also, he did go buck wild, because he grabbed Horus's body, took his talon, and just went, I'm out. And the vengeful spirit, it just went, later, guys.
Yeah, full speed that way.
Yeah, he was. I do love, if you don't like Abaddon, I'm sorry. And we'll continue to say which is the better pronunciation, but I've heard it both ways in audiobooks.
It's hard. It is spelled Abaddon. It's just easier to say Abaddon.
And it's still my favorite is the fact that his name is Abaddon the Destroyer, and his name translates into the Destroyer. So he is the Destroyer of the Destroyer.
Well, but yeah, anytime it comes to pronunciation, because we're in America, I'm going to, this fun one, pronounce K-A-N-S-A-S.
No.
It's Kansas. Pronounce A-R-K-A-N-S-A-S. It should be Arkansas, but we pronounced it Arkansas. I can't fix this thing. Deal with it. But that's where we are.
We have a war against yous. Screw you, England.
Yes.
So one of the big things here is, well, let's just go back to what we were saying. The Imperial, we rally. The Imperium, humanity.
Well, I think we both liked it, since we couldn't be Eldar or Orcs, would like to be on Team Imperium.
Chaos. Nothing good happens to Team Chaos in the end. Like weird that when you subscribe to Chaos, in the end, you also get tricked by Chaos and something bad happens to you every time.
Weird.
Yeah. You scroll back to the end of the book again and it's always bad. But the thing is that this didn't happen. This wasn't a 2-day. This isn't a weekend. This isn't a long weekend. What's years? Yeah,
I think it was decades before they got the Iron Warriors all the way.
Oh, they were chasing all these people. And you've got psychos like Conrad Cruz, which were just, he thought it was funny. So he was roadrunnering this. He also got caught twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, still kept escaping.
Right. This is going on. And to be fair, again, things are getting shittier because Well, remember a shitty time in human history, real human history, called the Inquisition, when we used the fear of the populace to give some people power to do some horrible shit. Well, sometimes you can convince people to do that and then ramp it up for 10,000 years.
That's a really good segue into something I wanted to talk about. So we discussed earlier, Gilliman sits there and says, hey, guys, I got a plan. And everyone says, hey, that's a great plan. And then they don't listen to a word of it.
But he bailed. Yeah, because that's a big deal because of the fact that Bobby G, and by the way, he's alive for a long time after this.
Yeah.
He doesn't get jacked for a while.
Yeah.
And
spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. he doesn't get jacked for a while, and he comes up with legitimately Bobby G is the most boring and the most awesome Primarch out there.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of plot armor, but he comes up with a literal, this is how we achieve the goal of our father, an enlightened Imperium. This is how we take back. This is how we rebuild from the, we're at our lowest point. Let's bring us back. And we do none of that. And eventually he gets hurt and put in stasis.
Well, I want to talk about why we didn't do none of that. And this is just my theory. But my theory reading the lore is he has this great plan. And Leman, the Lion, I mean, everyone agrees with it. Those are your two big ones just from a power standpoint. You know, obviously Sanguinius isn't around anymore to talk about it. But
which is who used to be the voice of reason.
Exactly.
So Bobby G would give to it. Think about what used to happen is Bobby G would give his plan. It would always be a great plan because he's Bobby G. Everyone else would tell him to go pound sand. Sanguinius would tell them we should at least do most of his plan. And everybody else would go, all right.
Yeah, we like you. We'll listen.
Yeah.
But the problem he has right now is that Leman is having none of it, and he's already gone. I mean, basically,
Bobby
finishes his speech, and Leman goes, great idea, and is grabbing.
I mean, this went about as well as when he put out the Codex Astartes.
Yeah.
And went, we're going to break all your legions apart.
And he
basically sent a picture of his junk.
Yeah.
And was like,
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So is this a no, guys?
But then the Lion's in the same boat, though. The Lion's equally just gone off planet. So the problem Bobby G has...
The Lion goes full... We're going to talk about this in the next episode. But the Lion goes to the basis of what it is to be a Dark Angel, which is vengeance.
Kill. It is kill. Pure kill. But what I was getting at is that the problem for Gilliman is that he's got this great plan, but all the people he needs to line up and support it, they're not just not supporting it. They're just gone.
Well, they're also kind of doing the opposite. Because remember, his plan is to take, rebuild, reeducate, move on. And his brothers went, cool. Remember that whole
take thing?
They didn't even do the take thing. They just burn it down. They're like, I can't take it anymore. Why? It's not there.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. That's what you wanted,
right? That's a huge deal with this is he's trying to do this. And to be perfectly honest about it, he does pretty well with what he does. His plan works in his tiny little bubble what the Ultramarines can do because the Ultramarines are currently wildly the biggest legion. Yeah. It's not even close. There's the Ultramarines, and then you jump off a cliff, and then the numbers. What I'm talking about is the assets, the number of Marines, the number of Imperial Guard, the number of ships, the number of worlds.
Yes, other than the worlds, all logistics.
Everything.
Problem that he has, though, right now, and we're going to dive into this in a minute, but understand that Bobby G has put together a pretty intricate plan about here's how we're going to expand out, basically almost redoing the Great Crusade in a lot of ways. Because this worked, we're gonna effectively do it again with some important caveats we'll get to in a minute.
Well, to be honest, some of it's trash. Sorry, Bobby G. But like his overall plan is actually just better than the original Crusade.
It is. The problem he has
because it's informed.
As he expands out and gets there, the Dark Angels and the Space Wolves got there first and just lit the planet or the system on fire and are gone. So he's coming in and people are looking around going like, hey, what the hell just came through here? And he's like, sorry about that. By the way, you're still part of the Imperium. Can you go back to making hubcaps?
You should probably trust me. They're like, a guy just murdered everyone I knew.
Who looked an awful lot like you and your legion just killed everyone here.
Yeah. Everyone I've ever met except for that guy is dead. So Yeah, man.
It also makes it really hard for any of you who work in any sort of job that requires logistics is imagine if half the ships you're relying on for logistics just got blown up in a day.
Well, you don't imagine you're at Ford and you're like, hey, we got to make X amount of cars. This dude says we have to complete this many cars. Yeah, man. 3/4 of the workforce got killed yesterday. Yeah, cool. They said they still need that many cars. You're like, yeah, man, like we can't do that.
We're not gonna make
I'm not saying that they're late. I'm saying everyone died. Everyone's dead.
We don't have an option B here. So the whole, this is the next thing we're going to step into here. This is the, Bobby G tried to fix this. I really do believe he did. He tried to fix this and.
And he might have, but he.
But everyone saw blood. Yeah. And so the issue you have is in them all seeing blood led to a very natural next step in my, which is the Inquisition.
And the Inquisition was awful.
But
and sorry, Malkador, you did a bunch of cool stuff. It was never supposed to be good, be honest with you, because he kind of created the KGB originally.
Yeah.
Like he effectively created thought police because he was trying to root out chaos wherever it is. But it became a widespread, eventually galaxy spread movement and gigantic arm of the Imperium, its own arm. It was no longer the secret police. It was the, wow, this is a gargantuan branch of, we smell corruption everywhere. And then you got people that, we'll get into this.
We're going to do episode on the Inquisition, but so everyone kind of can follow along what's going on is we've got a problem of that. No one really knows who the bad guys are. As Brad has said, and I've said numerous times, the regular member of the Imperium doesn't know that chaos exists. What they kind of understand has happened is there's been a bunch of pretty large-scale revolutions happening all over the place. We have to go do something about it. Behind the scenes, the people in charge are very well aware of what's really going on, which is an infection, but then they have to get soldiers. So this becomes the issue with the secret. The Inquisition is formed by Malkador to hunt out chaos, which no one can know exists. But in order to hunt out chaos, they have to get citizenry to go and hunt out chaos, but they can't tell them that chaos exists. So that like level of disconnect basically translates to, hey, person X, you are in charge of hunting down problematic civilians. What's a problematic civilian look like?
Whatever I tell you it is.
Yeah, figure that out. And
also, you can edit this out later, but the Lords of Terra, since the beginning, have been a tornado of dicks.
Oh, no, the Lords of Terra are probably one of the biggest problems we're going to end here because they are
They use it to basically go, hey, you don't agree with me? You're probably chaos. Let's just send some guys to kill everybody that supports you.
And that's exactly what happens with the whole scouring. The scouring period should have been fairly short. It should have been, they go out, the worlds that had aligned with Horus were eliminated. The worlds that weren't with Horus were reinforced. This is how it should have gone. But instead, it became really the revenge is a better way of looking at it. And people were just looking to not only get back. In the case of like the Space Wolves and the Dark Angels, they were trying to go kill off everyone who caused them any problems. But behind the scenes, you also have people who use this period for self.
It's 100%. They just give it. They consolidated their own power, and anyone that went against them, they went, well, that obviously is a heretic, and they would just have all. They didn't just have them killed. They just had all of it's way worse than that. Because they would go, hey, this system supports you. This system's obviously heretical. And then you would have inquisitorial forces show up. And when I say inquisitorial forces show up, it's not like three dudes with their comrades. No, they took an Imperial Navy fleet with them.
Blew a planet up.
And blew the planet up. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you don't have any supporters there. You're like, I'm probably going to win the election. I thought I was going to win I was going to lose by 4 billion votes. But I just blew those up.
Yeah, I blew up 6 billion votes. Problem solved.
Yeah, so now it looks like the polls have me winning. So
the one good thing that, in my opinion, and Space Wolf players will disagree with me on this one, that comes out of
I disagree so much right now.
Yes, is
because I can read the screen.
Yeah, Brad can see the notes before we're talking about this. Gilliman does at this point, though, pull off the second founding of the Space
Wolves. Boo. All right.
I actually like this. And the reason I like this is when you look at the problem that happened with the Horus Heresy, the biggest issue were the legions were too big and they could be, they were too easily corrupted. So what Gilliman decides is the best way to do this is we're going to split these legions down into smaller fighting forces, and you'll still be under the great...
I get it, but he makes it so it's... G-Man made a bunch of great decisions. Mm-hmm. He had a great plan. This part of the plan, I'm sorry, I think it sucks. Because he became, and he's always become, always been, not become, the king of bureaucracy.
Oh, he added so much bureaucracy.
He added layer upon layer. Yeah. Literally, you can't get things done in the Imperium because it is... There's worlds that have been just destroyed accidentally because of the fact that a form said went the wrong place and they said that they might be chaos. You're like, wasn't this file, this form filed? Looks like 8,000 years ago. Yeah, they might still be there. Just blow it up.
Blow it up anyway.
Yeah. So like, you're like, dude, we've been literally making stuff for you. But the thing is, he breaks the chaos. He says, no one person can be in charge of this much power. So he tells them to break up the legions, which becomes the second founding, which breaks the Space Marines up into chapters.
Yeah.
And
which
it's
a rich way that for those of you who play the game currently, who are new to the game, that's just how the game is played today.
Correct. That's how you have the
sort of, unless you play certain factions.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. Screw you. Russ was real down with this idea.
Yeah. And this was, before we dive into it, we should point out, this was optional. It was, Gilliman did this thing. And by optional, I mean, I'm not sure if he wrote
it. He made a pretty impassioned speech about it. Yeah, it basically said that his whole thing was that we won't have another Horus, another civil war, if no one has access to all, because the legions right now aren't just Marines.
Yeah.
They are an endless armada of
ships. Let's dig into that. So before the second founding, and we'll use the Lion, because if you guys haven't figured out, our next episode is going to be Dark Angels. So let's start covering this now. At this stage, the Lion is not just in charge of the Space Marines with which he shares genetic code with, effectively. He's also in charge of every member of logistics that puts the armor on them, the Navy that moves them from planet to planet. He's in charge of...
He has multiple sectors or segmentums under his control, and they are all his.
Yeah.
We're talking...
Solely his. No one...
Exactly.
In fact, if you want access to it, you have to get permission
from him.
That is... Holy crap, is that a lot of power.
Yeah, he's not in charge of a system. We're not talking like, hey, you're in charge of Earth, Mars, Venus, whatnot. No, he's in charge of everything within light years of Earth kind of thing. And they all are that way.
And during the Horus Heresy, the reason this matters is that during the Horus Heresy, and you know, we can debate this because they didn't really write about it very, very well, but as we'll use Emperor's children fall to chaos, that means all the systems, every ship, every single thing under the Emperor's children are now on chaos.
Which they had civil wars in that, but we'll...
Yeah, exactly. It didn't actually work that way, but Gilliman doesn't know.
Well, it did for, like, Horus.
Yeah, for Horus. But Gilliman doesn't know this.
And so, Horus didn't also show up with wild wings and tentacles, so...
It does help not being a giant purple snake.
Yeah. it's tough to negotiate. You're like, I think you might be the bad guy.
Hey, I feel like you're the bad guy right now. What are you talking about with my forearms and... I still got great hair.
It's true.
Still had great hair.
I'm gonna die from that. That was good because that's a real thing in the model and in all the artwork.
He is
literally a snake demon with forearms and wings and amazing hair.
Beautiful hair, just so like romance novel.
He's Fabio.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Can't figure it out, but it does. But that's where he is. So the issue is that Gilliman, I think, rightly says, "Hey, no, we're going to let you be in charge of..."
Also, he's a huge hypocrite on this, though, because he does break it up and he makes a bunch of secondary chapters and they're all directly under his command. So he breaks up the Ultramarines and they're all...
He's Captain Bureaucracy.
Yes.
How else am I supposed to do
this?
He's
like, look, man, you guys should break your chapter. Look, I've broken my chapter up. You're like... Yeah, you gave them like stickers with new names. It's still the same guys standing next to you.
It's all the same guys, and they'll report to you, right? Yeah, but they could choose not to.
Yeah, but they all do. Yeah.
Could they choose the most loyal people? That's not important.
You're like, they have the same color. Like, nothing changed.
But the reason I do want to cover this, though, for everybody following is this is when you play it. I want to talk about it. It's changed because when you play 40K, this is a big piece where you have, hey, what are all these chapters that we're part of? They don't actually play that much, ironically, except for the Dark Angels. It's probably the only ones where I think the chapters do matter because you do run Raven Guard or Raven Wing. You do run Death Wing.
But they're not, though. Those are part of it.
They're not the Second Founding. That breakup, they did follow Second Founding.
Kind of, but they just stay together.
Yeah. Versus, though, I actually don't.
I mean, you have like the Emperor's Spears. You have all these successor chapters, yeah, which are, here's the Ultramarines, but here's the chapter with the chapter master. Go do your thing. But it's what was already happening anyways. They already, that's my problem in the fact that they just, everybody did, gave you face to this and just went.
Well, yeah, Gilliman said, do this thing. And they all figured, well, how can I do the thing he's asking me to do, but actually not change anything? Yeah. That's what you end up with, which is pretty common.
I mean, you had some successor chapters that are way cooler. Yeah. I mean, like Black Templars came from Imperial Fist, which is my least favorite chapter.
And Black Templars are a lot cooler.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Sons of Medusa are really cool. I do like Sons of Medusa a lot.
Hands. Those guys are badass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those ones are really
cool. I mean, Blood Angels are cool anyways, but also Flesh Tears are probably cooler.
Way cooler. Oh, Flesh Tears are way cooler.
But the thing is that they this is how successor chapters became and existed. But we're skipping ahead here. But Bobby G eventually gets, sorry, Fulgrim slashes him. Yeah. And things happen. And shit goes down, and we're in the Imperium's functioning, but it's not at the same time, I guess. Well, yeah,
Let's get it, because, I mean, as I said before, when we started this episode, I didn't want people thinking that we're going to cover the Scouring, because, again, the Scouring is 10,000 years and running. That's where we're at right now. Yeah.
Dude, to be honest, it's 11,000 years.
It's 11,000 years and running right now. That's where we're at on the Scouring. But this early part of the Scouring, which we're covering, really is going to set up almost everything else that's coming in the future, because it was this idea of, all right, I do like Gilliman a lot. So I'm coming at this from the standpoint of Gilliman. You're sitting there, and this entire thing that you just helped rebuild, you know, you were part of the Great Crusade. You've brought all the worlds back into it. Everything was on the up and up, and now it's on fire, and it's a terrible fire. So what do we do? Well, we've got a great idea. What if we eliminate the chaos, we rebuild, we make all these changes, yada, yada, yada. None of that really worked. And
well, it also becomes a bastardized exact opposite of the version that you're fighting for, because it was supposed to be this freedom of thought. I mean, obviously, we won't talk about how they treated Xenos, but if you were human... Yeah. You were supposed to have these freedoms to do what you wanted to do, be who you wanted to be, serve the empire, but go as high as you could. There's equal opportunity for all. And then the Imperium became this living hell for 80% of the inhabitants.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
I think it's important here to talk about really what is happening now for the Imperium. So it is effectively now at its weakest point, I think, since the Dark Ages technology.
Since Dark Ages technologies, yeah, I mean, for sure.
It's there. There's no functioning government. Because the Lords of we mentioned the Lords of Terra a few minutes ago, and I want to dig in. The Lords of Terra were largely figurehead. The Emperor handed over the reins to them, but at the end of the day, the Emperor was still there, and they would all...
They had power, but the problem was is that they actually did have power. I'm gonna contrast this. The Lords of Terra had great power, but they were always held in check by the fact that the Emperor, he didn't veto shit. He went, oh, I'll just cut that guy's head off.
Yeah.
And you can't stop me.
It's Darth Vader, Star Wars Episode 4.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just choke this guy.
Yeah. Cool. He's just like, hey, man, you did some nonsense. Yeah. You went a little too far. If you went a little too far, I'll just replace you. And when I replace you, it means I'm cutting you in half.
Yeah, you don't exist anymore.
Yeah, and then, I forgot to mention that I also will ruin you psychically. So I will murder your soul when I kill you. So it's not a great death.
It's not a great death. So, but now those guys have unmitigated
power. Well, they no longer have anybody. There's no, checks and balances went out the door.
Yeah.
And they just have, so I have unlimited power, unchecked unlimited power. and I can do horrible things.
Oh, yeah.
And no one can stop me because I also have, which the Inquisition, again, what a trash fire. I'm sorry, guys, but you can like Inquisitors and Inquisitor chaplains and stuff.
Why would you?
But I'm just saying everything awful stemmed from them. Yeah. And we have people that are utilizing this power to solidify power. They're using the Inquisition's power to be their own personal hitman. And we're talking like, again, it wasn't a joke. There's multiple stories of Terra High Lords going, oh, John's getting too much power as my rival. I'll just murder all the planets that follow John.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Because I think one thing I want to point out is these guys went from, you're right, they weren't figureheads, but they were of checked power. They're then granted unmitigated power. But the problem is that they're given granted unmitigated power at a time where half of the Imperium is dead. And it's on a downward swing. And so if you've ever, man, this might hit home for some of you out there. If you ever had a boss who you work for, who's in charge of a trash fire, that boss is usually a dick.
Well, it's also the thing is that we're saying that the Imperium's at its lowest point, but it's still wildly powerful.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah. It's not weak. It's flailing is how I would describe
it. Right. I'm saying flailing. You're at a down thing, but you're still working for Microsoft. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're there, but they are. I look at the Lords of Terror and I see people who were great. The thing you've always wanted, which is all this power you get.
They're awful.
But you get
every single Lord of Terror. Somebody correct me on this. Give me a story where a Lord of Terror wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
By rule, I think. Effectively.
Yeah, I feel like every story, every Lord of Terra has been a trash fire. Well, I guess technically Trajan's now a Lord of Terra.
Fine. Yeah, okay, you're right. That is one.
Okay, but he's not. Well, he also murdered all the rest of the monsters. So.
The next big problem that they are having, though, and this is more for the Imperium, is Xenos. So the whole time they were waging this war, and we're going to get into this in the next episode pretty hard, is that the Emperor, during all this stuff with the Great Crusade and thing, had almost a shadow crusade he was doing where he was killing Xenos.
Whoa, 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 John. I feel like you said kill. And I feel like kill is mad that you use that word, because the word you meant to say was horrifically genociding Xenos.
Xenos were
kill would be you and I dueled at dawn. What was happening was I didn't like the planet you live on.
And I removed it.
Yeah, no, I made sure everyone was dead. And sometimes they went back to make sure everyone was dead.
And so what you have is that because of that, and two of the big Xenos we're going to discuss here are orcs and Drukhari. Which are the two of the worst ones to have.
Well, Drukhari, orcs are more of a problem because orcs are actually looking for fights.
Were a problem.
Yes.
The problem is Drukhari weren't a problem.
Right.
And now are about to become one.
Well, the Drukhari are a big problem, but Drukhari aren't a problem. To be perfectly honest with you, they don't feel like a problem for Marines because Marines get into scraps here and there.
Yeah.
But like the Drukhari just leave and then you leave and then the Drukhari go back and go, hey, man, remember when there wasn't any Marines to protect you? Like, none of you guys can do anything to stop me. You're like, exactly. I literally work at the Gap. You're like, not anymore.
Yeah.
You work at the me doing terrible shit to you plant.
Yeah. I'm about to introduce you to the Homunculus Coven.
Yeah.
You're not going
to
love it.
Stuff's going to happen. You're going to be real, but you're going to really wish you fought me to the death.
That was the whole problem. Is that the Imperium now is, you've got their entire fighting force. A bunch of them are dead. The ones who aren't dead are trying to hunt down the ones who are on the other side who aren't dead.
And are effectively also ignoring the pleas of the common citizens.
And so you've got systems that used to have, because the way it worked before this, if we go back to pre-Horus Heresy, there would be a garrison effectively on every single planet. And that garrison might have space marines, but they could get space marines to the planet.
Kind of at a moment's notice almost. So you had enough guys where unless it was a giant invasion, a Gazgul style, if it wasn't just a gigantic invasion, you would put up a fight long enough where someone would show up and wreck whoever's messing with
and
you.
believe me, obviously we're going to talk about Drukhari a little bit, but that was always Drukhari's problem. The Drukhari would pop out of a webway. They'd come in real hard on the Raiders and the Venoms. They're going to hit you. They're going to grab people. But they didn't have a lot of time because once they showed up, the phone call went out and the Space Marines came down. The Space Marines.
Yeah, they were doing the movie heist out of a bank where they're like, we got 2 minutes before the people show up.
Go. Now, all of a sudden, they go and do those same raids because the Drukhari don't know what's going on.
And also, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Drukhari show up and they're like, we got to go. And then they try to leave and they go, hey, man, no one came.
And no one's shooting back at us. Should we? Let's give it a couple minutes to the point where, like, let's just hang out for a little bit. And now they're just kind of sitting around, like, next to the webway and just going, do we just do a second raid?
Yeah. Well, do we just go murder more people? Yeah, like,
all right, I guess.
Like, I got nothing on my calendar.
And, like, you know, now they're a month into the raid and just. Being Drukhari, I assume they just get bored and go, all right, let's try another one. But this begins to open up. So if we talk about the Lords of Terra, this is the problem they're having, is these types of raids are happening. And we're using orcs and Drukhari because they're the ones who exist in 41K. But they're 40K, but it's 41. There are a ton of other Xenos all over this who are in a small system.
And also,
who are doing this.
Weirdly enough, way worse, some of them.
Yeah. And they're doing it. So now you've got worlds are burning from invasion. And Eldar are also starting to come back into the picture now, too. It's not just Drukhari, but you also do have Eldar, who are now kind of, you know, the craft worlds.
Well, the craft worlds are, like, doing Eldar stuff, which means that they're looking into the future and going, if we prune this branch,
yep.
And sometimes you live on that branch, and they go, yeah, but you're eventually going to be chaos, so we're just going to kill you now. And you're like, but I'm not chaos now. You're like, yeah, but in like 100 years, you'll be. You're like, I won't live 100 years.
I live 50 this time.
You're like, sorry, man, but we're going to have to kill you now because, you know, your great-grandchild is going to be chaos. You're like, I don't feel great about this.
But there's no – the issue is that because of the scouring is going on and all the problems, there's no defense for this, which, of course, leads invariably to the next big problem, which – was rebellion, which also, because if you're sitting there, if you're part of the Imperium and you're getting this note, hey, you got to produce this tithe to the Lord of Terra. You have to do all this stuff to them and pay them all these pieces. Okay, great. But in return, you're going to give me like protection, all that stuff.
You're getting nothing.
Yeah, totally.
But also the worlds that are worst are the ones that could have been chaos. A legion went by and again killed, what, 2/3 of the population on average? Yeah. And then left and went, go back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're like, hey, man, I got a lot of animosity towards this.
How about you go screw yourself?
And then a guy goes, hey, man, I've got a way to get back at them. And you're like, yeah, I'm down with whatever you say. Like, this is a terrible idea, but also I'm super angry because, you know, like everyone I know is unalived right now.
Worlds correctly said, hey, man, screw the Imperium. I'm out. And so now you've got worlds, because you mentioned them falling to chaos. I'm saying the ones who didn't even fall to chaos, the ones who just were like, yeah, we're an independent body now.
And they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, well, yeah, but what are you going to do about it? You're going to send the Space Marines? They're busy. You're going to spend your Imperial Navy? They're busy. Who are you going to send to come tell me? Tell me after what you want me to do? Nobody. Cool. Then I'm going to go do what I want to do, effectively. Because what we'll get into kind of in later episodes is that these worlds, so half of, you know, when we talk about the Horus Heresy and we talk about half the world's leaving and Gilliman's plan of rebuilding, you need a lot of logistics. You need food. You need steel. Not that it's steel, ceramite. You need all these pieces. So a world that would say, hey, you have to produce 1,000 bushels of hay. And I'm using a very incorrect term here. Now you're going to them and saying, hey, I know you're doing 1,000 bushels of hay. And I know a bunch of you are dead, but we need to get 1,500 or 2,000 bushels of hay now.
Also with 1/3 the workforce.
Yeah, 1/3 workforce. You need it today.
And they're just saying, well, and also we'll kill the rest of you if you don't.
Yeah, and what happens if I don't? But okay, but while I'm doing this, I'm getting raided by like all these different forces. You need to fight them off yourself too. And eventually they went, screw this. I'm not sending you crap.
Yeah.
You know,
I can actually hire some guys to protect me if I give all of my stuff to them instead. Yeah,
and then I stop dying. So I'm going to go with that.
And also they've been meeting some of the other Xenos, which aren't just the Psycho Xenos, which are just like, hey, you guys want to hang out with us?
Yeah. And we'll just, you know.
And also the Eldar were doing quite a bit of that, to be perfectly honest with you. Eldar started trading with the Imperium at this point in time because of the fact that multiple planets, not just planets, systems were like, yeah, man, like there's not big giant power soldier guys. to immediately kill you if you are Xenos, and no one's protecting me, and you guys said you would trade with me? Cool. Yeah. Like, I would like to not die this week.
Is this the origin of the Rogue Trader?
Kind of, yeah.
Let's say there's the origin of Rogue Trader, which is...
It's before and after this. Before.
I feel like this is kind of the origin. Yeah. But you obviously had...
This is the mass Rogue Trader, because you get the people that just would trade with anybody. But the ability to trade with people was once we stopped having coordinated murder all Xenos.
Yeah.
That's when you were able to trade
with Xenos. I guess we would have had it during like the pre-Crusade, obviously.
Pre-Crusade, it existed. That's why I was saying the Rogue Trader... but then it kind of didn't.
Yeah.
And then after the Horus Heresy, they kind of just came back and went, okay, no one's going to kill us. Cool.
And if someone came to you and you're trading with, we'll use the Eldar. I'm trading with the Eldar. And my trade is I help give them supplies, this kind of stuff. And they keep eliminating all my enemies. And you come to me and say, you can't trade with them. And I say to you, well, are you going to limit my enemies? No, I'm not. Screw you. Rebellion.
Yep.
So I'm going to bail. The last one, though, that I do think we should touch on here before we kind of bail out of this is fear. And this goes what we've been discussing throughout a lot of this. Fear, this is, as a citizen of the Imperium, this is one of the most fearful times to be alive in thousands of years.
Which is how the Inquisition actually happens, though. Mm-hmm. Because people, I mean, this goes to humans right now. Everyone's afraid of the unknown. You don't know if there's going to be another big war. Mm-hmm. You were isolated from information for somewhere between 5 and 10, 15, some of these more, you know, years. The whole thing was semi-longer for some people. Again, we also have warp time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but the biggest thing is like, you may or may not have been conquered. You may or not have been isolated. You don't know what's going on. All you know is that terrible shit might happen to you tomorrow. You know what you should do? Let whoever it is make that stuff not happen. Does it make my life suck? Well, yeah, but we're going to weed out those people that would do bad things to you. Aren't you doing bad things to me? Don't talk about that.
That's unimportant.
That's unimportant. You let us take care of the things.
The note I left here is, who can you trust? And that became, I think, the overarching story of the entire Imperium is, who can you trust?
Well, and the thing is I want to go on to one of the notes that John has, and this is why I kind of want to branch on this, is the Emperor is dead, but the Emperor is not dead. Yeah. The Emperor
tried... I put it in quotation marks.
No, but this is where it becomes terrible, because the Emperor becomes literally the thing that he was fighting against, because the Emperor... died, and effectively for the populace, which is what the Inquisition says, the Emperor died but was ascended to better. The Emperor is a god now. Mm-hmm. The Emperor is defeating chaos personally, which now he kind of is, but at the time,
that's fair.
At the time, the Emperor is just holding at bay the problem. Sorry, Magnus, you didn't do anything wrong, but you did ruin a lot of things. Everything. So the Emperor's pretty busy. He's a carcass on a throne, and he's got some shit he's got to take care of. And he's also fragmented with his psyche, and he's everywhere.
Yeah.
You're like, hey man, you have to make sure that chaos doesn't destroy the entire galaxy. And also you got to take care of about 22,000 other things. And also your personality got shattered into a billion shards. Can you take care of all that tomorrow?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So as a citizenry, like, where do you go? What do you do? And now even the Inquisition.
It's worship now.
And they're telling you that, you know, to turn on each other. And you've got this in.
But it's because.
You're beset on all sides. I've got Xenos attacking me. I've got rebellions attacking me. I've got space marines. Are they a space marine ship? I mean, think about it this way. Like if a space marine ship appears, or a fleet appears in orbit.
You don't know whether you're getting killed or whether you're getting saved.
Exactly.
And the thing is that's why the Inquisition now becomes the shining light. Because they said the Emperor protects, the Emperor saves. That's all you need to have. You need to take everything you had to think about and condense that into the Emperor saves. The Emperor. And or just the Emperor blank.
Yeah.
And just move on with your life. I'll do all your thinking for you.
Don't worry about this. We got this.
I got this because people are afraid. Yeah. And they have a right to be. Demons exist, man.
Now, that's the thing. As a world, any moment, your world can completely collapse, die, pick your turn.
Yeah, right? You, like, the boogeyman's a real person. Mm-hmm. He lives, like, three streets down. Like, he's not like a thing you tell the kids. Like, I saw him yesterday driving down the street. Like, he's a real thing.
From a lore standpoint, the reason this matters is that this is, we're talking 10,000 years before the current state of 40K. And I think anyone listening to this can follow along of, oh, it's been this way for a while.
No, it gets worse. It started bad and got worse.
Way worse. What this leads a rise to is a term called the imperial truth.
Which is where I kind of already went.
Yeah.
Which is literally you, and this is, I mean, Stalin asked, I mean, it's, if you want to go real things, you have to swear allegiance to the state in a comical way, but like it is, you have to be all encompassing. And the problem is this becomes, it doesn't become the norm right away. But it becomes it works.
This whole phase is setting the stage for what is modern 40K of, you know, everything is about the emperor. You worship the god emperor, all these things. Because as a member of the Imperium, I have three choices. Choice one is to rebel and be an independent body. Choice two is to join chaos.
Be a heretic.
Yeah, and be a heretic. And choice three is to declare fealty to the Imperium and hope that they
protect. But they only. But the thing is that you're downselling though, because declaring fealty isn't just, hey man, I'm on your side right now. You know what I'm a fan of? I'm a big fan of living in the United States. You know what I didn't have to do? Declare my body and soul to the United States, and also sign something that says, if I ever go against the wishes of the U.S., I'm totally okay with being tortured and killed instantly.
Yeah.
And every imperial citizen knows now that, well, in the modern world of 40K, that's just how it is, man.
This is, and for those of you who do it, this is where it started. This was it. And it came out of fear. It came out of this piece of, because that was, you want to live, and you would basically ask yourself, which are the three things, which of these three options would make me live? Now, falling into chaos, you technically do die, but chaos isn't going to tell you that. The rebellion one seems like if you're in a system that's got a lot of old tech and weaponry, maybe it works.
Also, you may not have been contacted for a long time.
Yeah, you might just be close to an Eldar craft world that you can trade with.
Which protection. Is fairly significant.
Yeah, that would actually help a lot. Those are kind of yours, but otherwise, if you're just kind of on the northern fringe, man. And also, for those of you who don't realize, the Necrons haven't come back yet, and the Tyranids haven't hit the galaxy.
Yep,
and so there's a lot.
And also, you might have. And for a lot of these citizens this time, there's a good chance you saw a Marine fairly recently, and seeing a Marine will make you shit your pants.
Yeah,
like if you're Brad Chester, and I go, oh, cool. Dante just showed up. Yeah, man, I'm doing whatever that dude said because I'm real terrified of that thing that just rolled by. He is a significantly tougher than anybody I've ever met.
And this is where the Imperium becomes the modern, where everything shifts over to war, effectively.
It's a war machine.
You're with us or you're against us.
It's also, we are at a constant state of martial law, but it's not even, it's martial law times 1,000. It's exponential. It's the Imperium only exists as a war machine right now. Mm-hmm. In the modern 40K, the Imperium, I don't know if modern 40K, the Imperium could exist not as a war machine.
Oh, it couldn't, because it is, that's the whole thing. This is what we talked about in the beginning of the episode. When you hear about the scouring, you go online, you look it up, it's referred to as a period of time. And the more you read about it and you pull the codexes and you read the novels, it never ended. It just, there was a beginning to it.
Which just becomes what the Imperium is.
Yeah,
which the Imperium is a wartime economy. Hmm? And that's the only way it works, though, is because of that fact.
So with that, I think we'll break this episode and we're going to get ready for our next one. So what Brad and I have had a lot of discussions and about what we should cover next. And we agreed that I think the next big thing we're going to jump into, because we did the orc coverage, which was great. We loved it. We want to go back into Imperium. And we want to start with a very interesting faction, which is the Dark Angels.
It's about to get a codex.
Yeah, they're about to get a codex. Or you're listening to this, you know, later on. They already got a codex, whatever.
But who knows when it's coming out? Maybe
yeah,
never.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's always a codex coming. We're going to go to the Dark Angels. And the reason we're going to go to the Dark Angels, the Dark Angels actually are a really good story arc that lines up a lot of stuff that we've been talking about.
Well, there's a lot of bridges that come right now from them.
And so that's where we're going to go next. It'll be multi-episode casts, so at least three under the Dark Angels. So please join us for that. In the meantime, our Discord is getting larger. Our Facebook group are there. Please come join those. Also, if you could subscribe to the podcast and like the podcast,
it makes a big deal.
It makes a big deal for us because it helps us with our metrics. This podcast is doing very well right now. Brad and I could not be
happier. Ruin us.
Yeah. But if you could help us out, we're not asking for anything other than just a simple comment, like, and subscribe on Spotify.
If you engage with us at all, it just helps a lot for the analytics. It gets us pushed out to more people. And we just love to be able to talk to more people about this. It's something we love. It's the only reason we're doing it.
With all that, again, I'm John Barsari. This is Brad Chester.
This guy.
Thank you for joining. We'll see you next week.